this is a problem that we need to look at. And sometimes when we look at the idea of the kingdom of God, we very often restrict it to the Lord Jesus preaching about the kingdom of God in Mark 1, in Matthew 4, in Luke 4. And we think that the kingdom of God is just simply the gospel. And that's all there is to it. And it is about repentance. It's about believing in the Lord Jesus, believing in the gospel. And that's about the size of it. And the Lord Jesus spent a lot of time teaching about the kingdom of God. There were parables about the kingdom of God. There were very clear personal instructions concerning the kingdom of God. And there were explanations, and parable upon parable was given concerning the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, right? And this was without doubt an important focus for the Lord Jesus. And sometimes when we read the book of Acts or even the epistles, it seems as if the kingdom of God concept was actually lost. And reality of it all is not. It's not lost. Neither was there a de-emphasis. The kingdom of God remained the main concern. And that's something that we want to think about. But there were reasons why this problem of the kingdom of God was addressed in this particular way. The danger was very real because people had misunderstood the gospel, misapplied the understanding of the gospel, and they became a problem. And so Paul wants to write about this and talking about the kingdom of God, and this is something that we want to seriously consider, right? So the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. As we want to take a look at what Paul really meant by this, right? So when we look at the gospel of the kingdom, we must think in terms of many, many, literally a whole spectrum of things, right? So there are lots of things associated with the kingdom of God. We often speak of salvation, which is certainly part of the kingdom of God, or that we become adopted by God when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as in John 1:12. And all of these things are correct. There's no question about it. But sometimes we fail to understand that the kingdom of God has other features, other aspects that we must consider very carefully. And this is important, right? So one of the major problems that we have in the Corinthian church is the fact that some had become wayward. Now, it's important to bear in mind that we're talking about some rather than the whole, right? The whole church in itself was not like the problems Paul presented and hoped to deal with. The vast majority of believers were not caught up with all these bad things that he had to address. Well, our challenge is to understand what the kingdom of God is all about. We do want to learn how to present the gospel of the kingdom of God. We also want to learn what the Lord taught and what he emphasized about the kingdom life. And we can read more about them in Matthew 5 to 7 and in Luke 6, which is a summary of Matthew 5 to 7. Right? There were some major problems in the Corinthian church, and the reality is that some had become wayward. These who had become wayward were living very carnal lives. And these among the wayward were disputing the teachings of Paul. And some were obviously behaving very badly. And, maybe a small group of them had become very puffed up, meaning they were very arrogant, they were very conceited. And that was a big problem. And we ask ourselves, how are all these things consistent with the kingdom of God? And the reality is, they're not. That's something that we want to seriously consider, right? So on the one hand, we talk about believing in the gospel, repenting from our sins, and then entering into heaven. But then when we talk about repentance, about believing the gospel, talking about cleansing, but we are manifesting behavior that seems as if we have not repented of our sins. So how can this be? Well, this is something that the book of James deals with a lot of time. In many places, the instances of these things are very real. Now, we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 now, where Paul talks about these things here, right? Some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. And this was a real problem. There were some people who were pushing this thought that Paul is just all words, no action. And Paul is not coming to the Corinthians to see the Corinthians. He's not coming to Corinth. He's tried before. He has not been able to succeed in his attempt to come to Corinth. Therefore, he's not coming. They were painting a very nasty picture of the Apostle Paul as one who was inconsistent, one who didn't know whether he was coming or going, one who you need not fear him because he does not have the kind of consistency or the power at all. That is a problem. And Paul begs to differ very strongly. He says, but I will come to you shortly. That is the real issue. A lot of people were afraid a little bit of the apostles because they've heard of how the apostle Peter spoke a word against Ananias and Sapphira, and they were struck dead by the Spirit of God. And then they had heard about Paul, how he dealt with one called Elymas, and how he became blind for a season. The reality of it all is that the apostles had a tremendous amount of authority and power. And those who understood that respected them and regarded them very highly. But those who didn't despised them as being people who were not very consistent. And Paul fell into the second category. And Paul says, however, that I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. Now, this is very important because everything that we may plan, everything has to come with the permission of the Lord, with the blessing of the Lord, and the words would be, as the Lord wills. Right? This is a real challenge, and it becomes very difficult at times to fulfill what we plan. So did Paul have personal plans? Yes. He planned to visit Rome. He planned to visit Spain. He planned to visit a few other places. Is it wrong to make plans like that? No, it's not. But it is also a fact that he cannot always effect what he has planned. Because some things can go wrong. It could be illness. It could be persecution. It could be closed doors. A number of things can happen. But a lot of people didn't understand that and just saw Paul as an inconsistent person, saying one thing and doing another. And so Paul says, you're wrong there. I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. And I will know, not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. So this is what Paul was really trying to address at this point of time. He was very, very aware that there were people who were stirring up trouble, and there were people who were stoking the fire and making things harder than they should be, hotter than they should be, right? Now this becomes a very big problem. So what is he dealing with? What kind of problem is he going to do? And those important. And Paul talks about those who are puffed up. And this is very important. So there are the people who are puffed up in their arrogance, in their self, in their deceit, and they were giving a lot of trouble to people, right? But Paul determined he's not going to be like them. He's not going to just speak words of those people who are puffed up. He's not going to fall into the same trap, all right? What he says they were doing, he does not want to be guilty of doing the same thing. And so how is he going to come? And so he says, I'm going to come to you with the power of God, the authority that God has given to his apostles. That's what he was trying to say. And this is vital for us to understand and appreciate, right? He will not come like the Corinthians, full of a lot of hot air, a lot of bluster, a lot of words which seem to be very impressive, but in reality, they were not. So that is something that we want to seriously consider. So the word here is that he's going to come with authority or with power. Now, how does that work out? And it's something that we want to seriously consider, right? Now, God has given the apostles a lot of power for ministry. For example, they were empowered to heal. And we see this clearly in both ministries of Paul and Peter. They were given powers to punish accordingly, depending upon the situation, depending upon the case at hand. The point is that they had this authority and power, and this is something that we need to ponder over. So they are capable of using the power of God to perform signs and wonders. They have the power and authority of God to discipline and chasten any errant church member, or especially when they misbehave very badly, and Paul wants to remind them that he had authority to attend to these problems meaningfully. Right, so Paul says to them that he will come and he will be in the giving a powerful word, and that powerful word can be very hurtful to everyone concerned. And so this is very important, that he is very conscious, and he wants the people to be very conscious what apostolic power is all about. Now, we don't have the same kind of apostolic power, but it is good and important to know what they are and how they can be utilized to preserve the church, to guide the church, to help the church become holier, to guide the church to greater levels of service and of ministry and of evangelism. All these things come with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Now, this is important for us to understand. How does this, what is this all about? How does it work? Right? So Paul has a difficult task because he is coming as an apostle, no question about it. But there were other people who were apostles as well. And it's important for us to understand how all the apostles were all empowered. Right? They were empowered to perform signs and wonders. They were empowered to discipline and to chasten, as the case may be. And this is important for us to understand and to ponder over. Right? So we have examples, very clear examples, concerning the judgment of Ananias and Sapphira, and then the punishment of Elymas along the way. All these stories were not confined. The people began to spread them to the public. And so these things were very real and they were very true. Now, so Paul tells the people to remember that he wields tremendous authority and power as a servant of God, as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somewhere along the line, they missed the point. And they were carrying on with all their wrongdoings. And Paul has to pull them up short and say, listen, you should not do these things. And that's important for us to take note of. Right? And so he went on further to raise some rhetorical questions. What do you want? And of course, that's an open-ended question. But he raises the issue. What do you want? And then he said, how shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? Right? That Paul can come with authority and power is a foregone conclusion. He has borne power given to him by God, and he's done that admirably. He has done a lot of things which bring honor and justice to all who are victims. There's no question about it. Right? So this is important for us to ask ourselves. What choices did the Corinthians have? Right? This is absolutely vital. Okay? So Paul talks about how he says, shall I come to you? And he went on further to talk about how it works. And shall he come in power to execute, to whatever it is. And this is important for us, that Paul needs to say it must be according to the will of God. Right? So how does it, how do the Corinthian church want to receive Paul when he comes to them? Not a question of if, but when. Right? Of course, when Paul comes on, he will come with a rod of chastisement. In other words, he will exercise discipline. He will chasten the errant members. He will do lots of things which are within his power to act on, and something that we want to appreciate. Right? But of course, deep down in his heart, he would rather come with a heart of love and a heart of genuineness. I think this is something that is very, very often missing when we look at the problems that are in church. Sometimes we sort of try to avoid them, we try to circumvent them, but we don't know how to deal with them directly, which we should. And Paul shows us how this can be done. And that's important, right? So he does not want to come with a rod of chastisement. He would rather come in love and a gift of gentleness, right? This is something which the Corinthian church didn't grapple with long enough until they came to a solution. But when they look at Paul writing these words down, writing to them, and looking at what needs to be done, then they are obviously touched by the fact that Paul had chosen a path that was very much like the path of the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone suffered miscarriage, it would be the apostle. It would not be the apostle, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Would there be suffering? The example of the Lord Jesus Christ stood up. Would there be even death? And the Lord Jesus Christ would obviously stand out right here. So the challenge for all of us is to look at a social behavior. And this is important. And we must do our part in making sure that we are children of the kingdom of God, that we have entered into the kingdom of God, and we have become immersed in the kingdom of God, and we are able to do the things that the Lord wants us to consider doing, being in the kingdom of God. Right? So as we look at these things here, we want to ask ourselves what lessons we are learning. Well, I think the first lesson has to be to consider the lifestyle of people who are in the kingdom of God. If we truly are servants of God, we are grateful Christians, we are thankful that we are saved at all, then we must be able to practice a lifestyle that will bring honor to the Lord who has called us into his kingdom. Right? So we are challenged very much to read and remember Matthew chapter 5, and this is very important. The first 10 verses would be helpful because we are told that the Lord has granted mercy and the Lord has granted grace, and this is something that we want to seriously consider and to follow the Lord Jesus in every sense of the word. All right. So we have the Beatitudes, we have the Christian lifestyle established. And easier said than done, obviously. But it is not impossible to look at some of these things here. And we want to do our part in living for the Lord meaningfully. And we will bring great honor to the name of God if we were to live a life that is consistent with our profession of faith. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his teachings. Help us to be like disciples of old and more. We pray that you will grant us grace and strength. Help us to keep on developing our character and our personalities so that we bring honor to the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.